Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that's somehow not about a failed fraudulent tech startup. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Mark the Hammer O'Higgins.
I'm dope on the floor. I'm magic on the mic. It is hammer time.
Josh the Nomad Ziesel.
I'm surrounded by losers. Get me out of here.
And John Wilkes Booth Casale.
Mr. Lincoln? Mr. Lincoln, enjoy the play.
Hello to everybody, and thank you for joining us for today's match. It is the second elimination match in the Monster Division over here in our seventh season. Joining us again after a week away is our favorite score master. His name is Dan. Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Hey there, Taylor. Just a quick note. Our listeners might remember that earlier last year, our stadium's naming rights were bought out by a cryptocurrency concern. So if anyone has a horse-based business and needs a bunch of signs that say stablecoin, you know, hit us up.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Dan. And also joining us today is production master Dave. Hi, Dave.
Now, since this area is a national Bigfoot preserve, we'll start with a short film about Bigfoot while I make a few phone calls.
Well, I think that means it's time to get into our first game of today, a customary round of My Champion. This is the game where each of our players has chosen a champion from the world of pop culture, but we choose the battle those champions are fighting. Professional lawyer and amateur humorist Mark O'Higgins, who is your champion today?
James Bond from the popular film series.
Psychologist and pop culture catcher-upper Josh Ziesel, who is your champion?
Buffy Summers from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And joining us as a last-minute fill-in, we appreciate having you back on the show, John Casale, who is your champion today?
George Last from Dead Like Me.
All right, all three champions are locked in. Dan is going to be our judge today, so let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, who's going to be the best assistant to Miranda Priestly, the editor of Runway Magazine? Mark, start us off by telling us why James Bond is going to be the best assistant to Miranda Priestly, a.k.a. Meryl Streep's character in The Devil Wears Prada.
Bond would be great at this. Compared to someone like Blofeld, say, Miranda Priestly wouldn't be such deep water. Bond is a man of impeccable style. I believe Miranda would appreciate that. He's also an undercover operative, so he could probably get in there, act as if he was the world's greatest assistant, and mostly pull it off, I think.
Thank you, Mark. All right, Josh, make the case for Buffy Summers as a great assistant for Miranda Priestly.
Buffy Summers is definitely an amazing choice because she's incredibly stylish. She always looked good as she was doing her job. She's quick with a one-liner, so she can definitely go toe-to-toe with Miranda. She knows how to blend high-end and low-end looks. And then also she is going to be able to really lean into the sustainability movement because she is going to be able to choose fabrics that can be washed, get that blood out, and she's going to be able to pick out some looks that are going to be sustainable in the long term.
Thank you, Josh. And John, make the case for George Last from the Showtime series Dead Like Me.
Absolutely. So those who aren't familiar, George was a reaper under the employ of Rube, played by Mandy Patinkin, who was a very difficult boss. So she's got that going for her. On top of that, she had a prima donna on her team, Daisy. So she's used to dealing with prima donnas. So she'll be able to deal with models who always come in and always cause difficulty. She's used to doing a job with very little information. She got her tasks just with a name and a time on a post-it and was able to do the job from there. And on top of that, she's hard to humiliate. I mean, the poor girl was killed by a toilet falling from the sky. If that's not humiliating enough, I don't know what is.
Thank you, John. All right, Dan, time to render some judgment. Who is our winner going to be?
It is absolutely the case that James Bond does have impeccable style. He wears the nicest clothes, the best watches. But I think the problem is that assumes that Miranda Priestly's assistant has to be someone who's stylish. No, you can start off being absolutely not stylish and be a good assistant for Miranda Priestly. The issue is you have to be basically utterly servile and very, very organized and willing to put up with whatever she throws at you. And I think James Bond would wind up shooting her in the head pretty quickly. So I don't think he would actually be a great assistant for her. So we're down to Buffy versus George Last. And either one of these, right? These are both young women. They're both stylish young women who seem like they could potentially pull it off. So the question becomes, who is going to be most willing to subsume their entire personality and do whatever Miranda Priestly wants them to do. And I gotta say, I don't think that's Buffy Summers. I think she's too strong-willed in order to be a good assistant. Whereas George Lass, we know, just during her life at least, did not care about anything. And so, yeah, I think she could probably be a very good assistant for Miranda Priestly. So our winner today is John and George Lass.
Woohoo! Thanks.
Congratulations, John. You have won my champion, which means you get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you'll have a half-point competitive advantage over either of your competitors. Here is your half-point question. Of course, the real villain of The Devil Wears Prada is Andy's boyfriend, Nate, played by this Entourage star.
Adrian Grenier, or however you pronounce his last name.
Grenier. We won't give him the satisfaction of pronouncing it correctly. We're going to take that answer. Yes, Adrian Grenier for the half point. John, you also get to go first in round one, entitled You've Been Punked. Punk band Me First and the Gimme Gimmes has made a career out of punk rock covers of unlikely songs. These are all popular, well-known songs, but with the melody and instrumentation switched out, can you still recognize them? In this game, we'll play you a clip of a Me First and the Gimme Gimmes cover of a well-known song. You have to name it. For instance, if we played you this clip of a song from 1979... You'd know that was
Rainbow Connection.
Yes, that answer would get you 10 points. Now, if you need more help, we can give you the name of an artist with a well-known version of the song, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Note that the year may refer to a well-known version of the song rather than its first release. We'll start with John with a Me First and the Gimme Gimmes cover of a song originally from 1963.
Blowing in the Wind.
By Bob Dylan, that is correct for 10. Next up, we're going to Mark with a song originally from 1996. Sometimes silence can seem so loud. There are miracles in life among the
cheap. But first I know it starts inside of me. Not ringing a bell. I'll take the hint.
This is a song by a singer that we don't much care for. His name's R. Kelly.
Ignition.
From the Space Jam soundtrack. That is I Believe I Can Fly. Next up, we'll go to Josh for a song originally from 1973.
'70s music is so bad for me. I definitely need a hint.
This song is originally by The Eagles.
Oh, gee. Yeah. Nope. Never going to get it. Pass. Desperado. Why don't
you come to your senses? That is Desperado, originally by The Eagles. Next up, we're going back to John with a song originally from 1999. Right away.
That Earl Had to Die, Goodbye Earl, with Jane Krakowski, I think, in the video, with Franz and Lauren Holly.
Yeah, you got the name of the gaffer in that video?
No. Oh, okay. But it's by the chick.
Yes, Goodbye Earl by the Chicks. Next up, we'll go to Mark for a song recorded in 1996.
I will have the hint, please.
That 1996 song is by Madonna.
Like a Prayer.
From the Alan Parker movie version of Evita, that is Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Of course, the Like a Prayer album came out in 1989. Next up, over to Josh with a song from 1963.
going to need the hint.
The song is by a group called The Angels.
Pass.
My boyfriend's back and you're going to be in trouble. My Boyfriend's Back is that title. Next up, we'll kick it to John for a song from 1971. All my memories gather around her. Minus ladies, straight to blue water. Dark and dusty, painted on the sky. Missed the taste of moonshine, teared up my...
Country Roads from John Denver.
Please, Country Roads, take me home. Yes, Country Roads is correct. Next up, over to Mark for a song originally from 1935.
I will take the hint, please, Taylor.
The song was written by George Gershwin.
Rhapsody in Blue.
Summertime. Yes, also with a notable Sublime cover later on, that is George Gershwin's Summertime from Porgy and Bess. Next up, over to Josh with a song from not too much later. This one's from 1939.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yes, from The Wizard of Oz, that is correct for Josh, 10 points, which will take us into our first score update from Score Master Dan.
Well, you know, up until that point, both Josh and Mark were really fighting for that Shoot the Moon prize, but I gotta say, Josh hecked it up. So right now, John is in the lead with 30 points in that point. He's been perfect so far. Josh messed up his chance to shoot the moon. He's now got 10 points. Mark is still in it, though, and he'll see what grand prize we give him if he can get through the whole game with just 0 points.
You know, if anyone wants to take Dan up on that challenge, you know, go for it.
No, don't. Please don't.
Please don't. All right, we'll kick it back to John for a song from 1967. Living is easy with eyes closed. Misunderstanding all you see. It's getting hard to be someone that all works out. It doesn't matter much to me.
The hint, but it's not going to help me get the name, but hopefully I'll be able to vamp for a little bit.
This song is originally by The Beatles.
Yeah. I just can't get the title. I know it. Pass.
Let me take you down, because I'm going to Strawberry Fields. That is Strawberry Fields Forever. Named after John Lennon's elementary school.
And now it's time for our Dan Casino Jinx Score Break. Dan Casino Jinx Score Break, 100%.
All right, next clip is for Mark. This song is originally from 1983.
The greatest miracle of all is how I need you and how you need it.
That is The Longest Time.
From Billy Joel's An Innocent Man album. Yes, The Longest Time. Next song is for Josh. It's from 1978.
Heart of Glass, Heart of Glass.
That's how you do it. Yes, Blondie with Heart of Glass. Next clip is for John. It's from 1987.
Sing once again with me, our strength to wear. My power over you, no stronger yet.
Phantom of the Opera.
Yes, the Phantom of the Opera for 10. Next up to Mark. This song is from 1974.
I'll need the hint, please.
This song is by Dolly Parton.
Oh, I know it. Jolene.
Jolene, 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 Jolene.
Absolutely, for 5 points. And we'll close out round one with a song for Josh. This one is from the year 1993.
It's not. I'm gonna need the hint.
Original artist here is Mr. Big.
I'm gonna play it again because he is so close to
humming. Yes, please play it again. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, it's like at the tip of my tongue. I'm not gonna get it. Ooh, baby, baby, oh, man, it's
little tricky there, the Mr. Big cover from 1993 of Cat Stevens' original Wild World. And that'll do it for round one. Next up, the scores from Dan and on to round two.
Going to round two, it's time for the PJ Masks score break. PJ Masks, because nighttime is the right time to fight crime. I can't think of a rhyme. PJ Masks is time to be a hero. Yeah, I had a kid. I know about that show. At this point, John's lead with 40 points and the half point. Josh is close behind with 20. Mark has 15 points, but that means he'll get to go first in round two.
It also means Mark gets to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Mark, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can. 10 points for each answer you can match. Your Threequalizer question is, in recent years, there have been three different basic cable shows in which the hosts go hunting for Bigfoot, but somehow don't find one. They are Finding Bigfoot, Destination Truth, and Animal X. What basic cable channels are these shows on?
Discovery, History, Nat Geo.
Two strong guesses besides Discovery. In this case, Destination Truth was on Sci-Fi, or Sci-Fi, and Finding Bigfoot was on Animal Planet. But Animal X was indeed on Discovery, 10 points to Mark. And that's appropriately going to take us into round two, entitled Bigfoot Sightings. Our custodian, Dylan, is also a bored cryptozoologist and has been going through our archives looking for sightings of Bigfoot to prove that he's real. In this game, I'll read you a bit from Dylan's notes about a Bigfoot sighting, and you tell me in which TV show, movie, or video game that Dylan saw it. So, if Dylan noted from a 1989 movie that, "I'm hearing reports that Bigfoot has been hit by a suburban family's car and they decided to take him home," you'd know that that sighting was from
Harry and the Hendersons.
Harry and the Hendersons is that movie. That answer would get you 20 points. If you need help, I can tell you about some of the other potential eyewitnesses to Bigfoot, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. Afterwards, I'll ask you a quick follow-up about the property in question. A correct answer there is worth another 10 points. Let's start it off with a Bigfoot sighting for Mark. This comes from a 1972 TV show. There have been reports of a ghost of Bigfoot haunting a Vermont ski lodge.
Is it Scooby-Doo?
Correct for the full 20. Mark, also along for that particular episode was this classic comedy duo, though not voicing themselves.
Laurel and Hardy.
Correct for another 10, a full 30. Mark coming in strong to our Bigfoot game. Next up is for Josh. This is from a 2012 movie. A bottle of Eau de Sasquatch is in the basement of a remote house, and it's said to summon Bigfoot from a scientific facility.
Eau de Sasquatch. Can I have the hint, please?
Other eyewitnesses include a whole crew of victims. I mean, college students who are headed up there as well.
Is it Cabin in the Woods?
Yes, Drew Goddard's horror movie, Cabin in the Woods. Josh, The Cabin in the Woods was filmed in 2009, but not released until years later, just like this other Chris Hemsworth starring movie.
Let's see. The only thing I can think of right now is Thor, so I'm going to guess Thor.
In this case, we're talking the remake of Red Dawn. Both Cabin in the Woods and Red Dawn filmed early, got lost in the MGM bankruptcy issues, and later released by Lionsgate. Next up to John, we're looking at a 1964 TV special. He was seen pretty far north, about as far north as you could go, honestly, and some prospector kept calling him a bumble.
Well, that prospector would have been Yukon Cornelius. Was that a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special?
The original stop-motion special, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with the Abominable Snowman. John, what American singer voiced that special's narrator, Sam the Snowman?
Oh, dang it. I can picture him. And if you had asked me that 5 minutes ago, I would have had it.
Can you picture his human form or his snowman form?
Burl Ives!
You got it, Burl Ives.
Thank
Very
you.
Good for another 10. All right, next up, back to Mark. It's from a 1976 TV show. In a remote part of the California mountains, I heard that some geologists have been kidnapped by a Bigfoot.
I will take the hint, please.
Other eyewitnesses include Oscar Goldman and another government operative.
This is the $6 million man, Taylor. I should have guessed without the hint.
That is correct for 10. Mark, in the first appearance of the Bigfoot on the $6 million man, it was played by this wrestler and actor.
Andre the Giant.
For another 10. Very good. Next, we're going to Josh with a Bigfoot sighting in a 1987 TV show. There's an abandoned ship off the coast of Alaska, and a stowaway tells me that they were scared off by a Bigfoot. Good thing that there's an intuitive engineer nearby that could be dispatched to look into it.
An intuitive engineer, castaways. I don't think it's what I'm thinking of, so I'm going to take the hint.
Other eyewitnesses include a consultant for the Phoenix Foundation. We're talking MacGyver.
Okay.
Still a follow-up for Josh. The location in British Columbia, where this episode was shot, was also used for Lian Yu, the island where a rich kid was stranded for years in flashbacks on this CW show.
Oh, CW is not in my wheelhouse. Let's think something superhero-y. I feel like Arrow comes up on here a lot, so let's go with Arrow.
Great guess. Oliver Queen's flashbacks on Arrow. Amazing, Josh. Next up, we'll go back to John. We're looking at a 2018 movie. A washed-up documentary filmmaker in the Himalayas got a report of a whole society of Bigfoot-like creatures and is determined to resurrect his career by getting them on tape.
Is that Littlefoot?
Littlefoot is a brontosaurus from The Land Before Time. This is Smallfoot, is the title of that movie.
Yep.
You still get the follow-up, John. Smallfoot was this actor's fourth animated movie role after The Lego Movie, The Book of Life, and The Lego Batman Movie.
Will Arnett?
This is Channing Tatum appearing as the lead Smallfoot in the film Smallfoot. Next up, we'll take it back for another Bigfoot sighting to Mark. This is from a 2012 movie. Apparently, there's a Bigfoot at a remote resort in the mountains of Eastern Europe.
I will take the hint, please.
A hapless guy who sounds like Andy Samberg is headed that way as well.
Eastern Europe? It's not ringing a bell. Pass.
John knows this one?
I think. Is that Hotel Transylvania?
It is. Mark still gets the follow-up. This singer and actress was fired from Hotel Transylvania after being photographed licking a suggestively shaped cake she bought for Liam Hemsworth.
Miley Cyrus.
10 more points there, Mark. Over to Josh. This Bigfoot was sighted in a 2006 movie. A wannabe rock star reported going on a psychedelic adventure with a Sasquatch after taking some mushrooms.
Okay, let me take the hint.
It's my understanding that Kyle Gast and Satan himself are looking for this guy.
Is it South Park?
Different Kyle here. We're talking the Kyle from Tenacious D. This is Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny. Josh, the Sasquatch in Tenacious D is played by this actor, known for his role in Chicago.
Oh, boy. I don't know why. I never saw the movie, but for some reason, I'm thinking that Richard Gere was in it.
I would love to see Richard Gere as Sasquatch.
Oh, I just for some reason see his face on the poster.
In this case, we're talking John C. Reilly as Sasquatch in the Tenacious D movie.
Okay.
Next to John, we're talking about a 2012 video game. Daniel Boone is convinced that a Bigfoot is stealing supplies.
And they say video games are rotting kids' minds. That sounds amazing.
Daniel Boone is worried that Bigfoot is stealing supplies?
Yes.
I'm going to need the hint.
The guy looking into it may be a genetically linked time traveler or some such nonsense, but he seems like a stand-up fellow.
Is this a Doctor Who game?
This is Assassin's Creed 3 has some Bigfoot action in there. John, Assassin's Creed 3 is set in North America during this conflict.
That would have been the Revolutionary War?
The American Revolution, correct, for 10 more points to John, which will take us into our next update on the scores from Scoremaster Dan.
Taylor, we have quite a game going on. At this point, Josh is pulled up with 40 points, John has 80 points in the half point, and Mark is in the lead. He's got 85.
All right, getting back into it, see if Mark can extend that lead with this Bigfoot sighting from a 1993 computer game. A carnival claims to have had a Bigfoot, but lost it. So they hired two rather violent anthropomorphic creatures to travel to tourist traps across the U.S. looking for it.
Is it Rampage?
Mark, in this case, we're talking about the Sam and Max video game series with Sam and Max Hit the Road. Still for Mark, games in the Sam and Max series were initially produced by the game studio founded and named after this film director.
Alfred Hitchcock.
John?
LucasArts? George Lucas?
Yes, George Lucas or LucasArts. Though Hitchcock being around to start a video game company is quite a move.
Yeah.
Over to John. We're looking at a 2019 movie. A professor is reporting that a Bigfoot in the Pacific Northwest may represent a crucial piece of evidence about the descent of man.
Let me take the hint.
The stop-motion professor sounds suspiciously like Hugh Jackman.
Stop-motion professor, Hugh Jackman. Let's go with X-Men.
In this case, we're talking about the Leica animation movie Missing Link from 2019. Josh, the titular Missing Link is voiced by this hirsute hangover actor.
It'd be helpful to know what hirsute means. Let's think. Hangover. Let's go with Bradley Cooper.
John?
Zach Galifianakis?
Yes, voicing the Missing Link Susan in Missing Link. Next up, over to John. This is from a 2013 TV show. A woman has been viciously attacked and dumped outside of a hospital. A writer close to the police tells me that it's likely a Sasquatch prowling the streets of New York.
Is that the reboot of Kolchak?
Mark knows this one.
Is it Castle?
A writer close to the police is Richard Castle, yes. Still for John, the Bigfoot episode of Castle was directed by a Star Trek Next Generation actor with an unusual way of sitting down. Who is he?
Jonathan Frakes with the Riker maneuver.
Yes, and that episode of Castle is entitled The Fast and the Furriest.
Boo.
Our last Bigfoot sighting for each player, this one is for Mark. It comes from a 2018 TV reboot. One of a trio of anthropomorphic creatures is hiding a Bigfoot in their great uncle's mansion, thinking it's injured, but it's just pretending so it can stay in that swanky mansion.
I am going to need the hint.
Maybe the witch trying to steal a certain dime saw something as well.
Is it Penny Dreadful?
John?
DuckTales.
Yes, the Disney Channel reboot of DuckTales. Mark, DuckTales actor Danny Pudi famously told this interviewer that he couldn't afford luxurious travel as he was on DuckTales.
Howard Stern.
John.
Larry King.
In a clip you should all go revisit because it's great. Danny Pudi talking to Larry King. Next up to Josh. This is from a 2013 video game. Many petty criminals report that there is a Bigfoot-type creature haunting the woods outside of San Andreas, but when they try to shoot him, he disappears.
San Andreas video game. Let me take the hint.
Michael DeSanta, who has tried to leave behind his criminal lifestyle, knows the creature is there, but gets easily distracted by other fun stuff he can do that's not necessarily part of the main thrust of the plot.
Is it Grand Theft Auto?
Yes, in Grand Theft Auto 5. Josh, you can also find a Sasquatch in this Western-themed Rockstar game series.
Red Dead Redemption?
Correct for another 10. And we'll close out round two with one more Bigfoot sighting for John, this one from a 1986 movie. Reports are scattered about whether the creature sighted on a truck leaving San Francisco is a Bigfoot or the Yeren from Chinese folklore.
Can I get a hint?
Old Jack Burton called this one in, and he has seen some stuff.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes, for 10. John, this Hong Kong action star turned down a role in Big Trouble in Little China.
Jackie Chan?
Another 10 will take us into the end of round two. Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to our final round. Before the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by next week's episode, and you can win the chance to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
Fans of fan service will have a ball. In this 80s classic, people bought at a mall. The names are basic, literally A through D. Even if one's a princess, from Alpha Cygni.
Know what the answer is? Then head to usaquizshow.com/riddle to type that answer in and win that prize. Then, if you don't know what the answer is but want to find out, a week from now, check our social media pages. We are on Twitter and Instagram at USA Quiz Show for riddle solutions and all sorts of other crazy ephemera from the show each week. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Going to round three, it's time for the Ketanji Brown Jackson break. Ketanji Brown Jackson, it only took 232 years. Right now, John's in lead with 110.5. After an exciting back and forth in round two, Mark is in second place with 85. Josh is in third place with 60 points. That means, because of the half point, he'll need to get 6 correct answers in order to pull into first.
Sounds doable, because anything can still happen in the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Dr. Frank N. Furter, Science Fiction Double Feature, A Toast, and Let's Do the Time Warp Again. Now, these topics are a little bit mysterious, so pick the thing that you think you're going to do the best on. Or maybe you want to keep something that sounds easy away from one of the other players. Josh, in third place, you get first crack at a lightning round. Which of these four categories would you like? Once again, they are Dr. Frank N. Furter, Science Fiction Double Feature, A Toast, and Let's Do the Time Warp Again.
I am going to choose Dr. Frank N. Furter.
Do you got a guess as to where this
I'm
is going?
I'm hoping it has to do with like aliases of people.
Well, we're talking about the alias of one person because it's a role played by Tim Curry in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So in this case, we're talking about the life and career of actor Tim Curry. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Josh, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Curry has a lead role as Wadsworth in this board game adaptation.
Clue.
Curry voices this Sith Lord in the 2012 Clone Wars cartoon.
What's his name? Pass.
In the 1990 TV version of It, he plays this clown.
Pennywise.
Curry voices adventurous dad Nigel in this Nickelodeon cartoon.
Pass.
He is among the actors playing criminal mastermind Dale the Whale on this USA series.
Pass.
Curry voices Premier Anatoly Cherdenko in Red Alert installments of this real-time strategy game.
Pass.
Curry voices Sharkster in this 1992 animated series.
Pass.
Ozzy and Drix is a TV spinoff of this Farrelly Brothers animated movie.
Pass.
He has a role in the 1998 TV version of this Sandra Bullock techno thriller.
The Net.
Curry is Long John Silver in the Muppet version of this book.
Treasure Island.
We are going to take Treasure Island at the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Josh Report.
You know, Taylor, in this world, nothing is absolute, but we can certainly go through all the passes. The Sith that Josh was trying so hard to get to was Emperor Palpatine, aka Palpatine, aka Darth Sidious. Curry voiced adventure dad Nigel in the Nickelodeon cartoon The Wild Thornberries, which had a movie and had a crossover with Rugrats, and if you're about 10 years younger than I am, apparently you're really into it.
We were.
Tim Curry was among several actors who played criminal mastermind Dale the Whale on Monk. The real-time strategy game where he played Premier Anatoly Cherdenko is Command & Conquer. You know, we ask a lot about a lot of obscure shows that I remember or just we think are kind of fun, and among them, perhaps premier among them, is the short-lived animated series Fish Police, where Tim Curry voiced Sharkster. And Ozzy and Drix was the TV spinoff of the Farrelly Brothers animated movie Osmosis Jones. Josh needed 6 correct answers to move into first. He had only 3, so Josh can finish with 90 points. Mark is up next. He's going to need just 3 correct answers in order to pull into first.
All right, Mark, 3 category choices left on the board for you. They are science fiction double feature, a toast, and let's do the time warp again.
I am going to try time warp again.
You got a guess as to where we're going here, Mark?
I'm hoping it's time travel movies.
You are absolutely right. Our second lightning round about time travel. We've got all sorts of new properties to ask about. 90 seconds on the clock. Mark, are you ready?
Ready.
In X-Men Days of Future Past, this character is dispatched to the 1970s.
Wolverine.
Brendan Fraser goes from the 60s to the 90s without conventional time travel in this 1999 rom-com.
Blast from the past.
In Loki, this wedding crasher plays Agent Mobius of the Time Variance Authority.
Owen Wilson.
Leslie Odom Jr. and Frida Pinto star in this oddly named 2021 Amazon movie.
Pass.
In the faith-based movie Assassin 33 AD, time-traveling terrorists try to kill him.
Jesus Christ.
The third live-action movie in this franchise sends the mutants to feudal Japan.
X-Men?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This Queen's Gambit star had a starring role in Last Night in Soho.
Anna Taylor-Joy.
This German Netflix show concerns a generation-spanning time travel conspiracy.
Pass.
A 2009 Eric Bana movie and a 2022 HBO series are both based on this book.
Hannah?
The Time Traveler's Wife. In Outlander, she plays time traveler Claire Randall.
Pass.
A witch and with a vampire boyfriend learns to time travel in this UK fantasy show.
Doctor Who?
A Discovery of Witches. Viking-heavy time travel procedural Beforeigners was HBO's first original series in this language.
Swedish.
Norwegian. All right, Dan, let's hear the Mark Report.
You know, I'm just a little upset that I have to say the ridiculous name of this movie. Mark passed on the question where the correct answer was Needle in a Time Stack, which someone thought was a great title for a movie. The German Netflix show that concerns a generation-spanning time travel conspiracy is Dark, and the actress who plays Claire Randall is Katrona Bale. Katrona Bolf?
Katrina Balfe.
Let's go with that. Works for me. All right. Mark got 5 correct answers. He now has 135 points, and Mark is in the lead. John is up next. He'll need to get 3 correct answers in order to take the win.
All right, John, 2 category choices left. They are science fiction, double feature, and a toast.
As much as I'd like to say yes to toast, I'm going to have to go with sci-fi, science fiction, double feature.
What do you think this is going, John?
I'm hoping science fiction movies, but we'll see.
Science fiction movies of the 1950s, when you were likely to see some kooky double features. We're talking 50s sci-fi here in this lightning round.
Thanks, Dan.
90 seconds on the clock. John, are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
This 1951 movie, remade in 2008 with Keanu Reeves, was based on the short story Farewell to the Master.
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
This supporting actor in Laura took a lead role in the original movie of The Fly.
Vincent Price?
Paul Frees narrates Earth versus the Flying Saucers and is the host of this spooky Disney ride.
Oh, Haunted Mansion.
This is John Carpenter's 1982 remake of a 1951 film set in the Arctic.
The Thing.
1953's It Came from Outer Space was Universal's first movie released in this format.
Panorama Vision?
3D. This island Earth was mocked in the 1995 movie version of this long-running TV show.
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Steve McQueen is trying to warn people about a gelatinous menace in this 1958 movie.
The Blob.
A cartoon from Destination Moon featuring this avian character was repurposed by NASA.
Donald Duck?
Woody Woodpecker. In addition to several 50s sci-fi movies, Robert Heinlein's work was the basis of this 1997 satire.
Johnny Mnemonic.
Starship Troopers. 1954's Them has humans facing off against giant these.
Ants.
Forbidden Planet is a reimagining of this Shakespeare play with a robot.
It's not Lear. It's the one with Caliban, and I can't pull the name.
The Tempest is Tempest, what you're, yep. With Robbie the Robot standing in for the fishy Caliban. All right, Dan, let's hear the John report and the final scores.
John didn't pass on anything, so, you know, you're welcome for the category, John. And that means it's just time for final scores. Josh winds up with 90 points, Mark with 135, and our winner with 180 points and the half point, it's John.
John, congratulations.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you.
Woo-hoo.
Congratulations, John. Incredible performance. And again, thank you for stepping in to play with us last minute today. Very, very much appreciate it. But that does mean we have reached the end of the road for Josh and Mark. Mark, Josh, incredible, super fun game. Loved doing Bigfoot and crazy punk rock covers with you. Please come back again anytime. And make sure to follow John in his continued run as the top hat emoji over on our Season 7 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week for the second elimination match in the Vancouver Rehearsal Tapes division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, John, Josh, and Mark, thank you again for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Daniel Boone is convinced that a Bigfoot is stealing supplies.